I want to talk to you this afternoon. In these last days, God speaks by his son. In these last days, God speaks by his son. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. God, who at various times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And I just want to begin with a simple question, but a very sincere question. That question being, do you want to hear God? Do you want to hear his voice? When we're reading in our Bibles and we read passages that say, and God said to Abraham, and God said to Moses, and God said to Jeremiah, is there something that just rises up in your heart and says, God, I want you to speak to me the same way that you spoke to them. I want to hear your voice. Is there just something in the heart that wants to hear the voice of God? Beloved, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, with that in mind, I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 again, and just the beginning of it says, God, who at various times and in divers manners spoke. And let's just stop there. You know, what did the word just tell us? What did the Bible just tell us? The Bible just told us the most amazing, stunning, astounding fact in this universe. The Bible just told us that God speaks. The Bible told us that God is speaking. And what we really need to take to heart is that from the very beginning of time, God has always had something to say, and he's always looked for a people he could say it to. Beloved, I want us to capture this afternoon. God is looking for someone he can speak to. He's looking for someone who has an ear to hear what he has to say. Do you want to hear God speak? Well, God is looking to see if you have a listening ear, because he has something very much on his heart that he wants to say. Now, look with me at verse 2. Verse 2 says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. And I really want to emphasize that word us. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Listen, are we a part of us? He's spoken unto us. Are we a part of us? We are a part of us. So right where you're living, God is speaking to you. In your everyday places, in your everyday things that you are doing, God is speaking to you. You know, I can't help but think about Moses. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. He was in the backside of the desert. He was a simple shepherd, just every day doing the business of a shepherd. And it was in that place of shepherding sheep every day that God cultivated within him a heart that he called a friend of God. That God cultivated in Moses' life a very intimate place with the Lord in those 40 years of just shepherding sheep. And my point is, right where we live in the everyday affairs of our life, God is speaking to us. Now, in regards to God speaking, did you notice that there are two phases in these verses? There's phase one, before the coming of the Son, God spoke. And there's phase two, in the coming of the Son, he now speaks. So let's just break these verses down. Phase one says that before the coming of the Son, God spoke. I want you to look with me again at verse one. It says, God, who at various times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So before the coming of the Son, God spoke in divers manners, which simply means that he spoke in many ways. So thank you. So before the coming of the Son, how are some ways that God would speak? How did he speak in the Old Testament? Well, I think the most amazing way he spoke is that he literally opened up his own mouth and he spoke. He opened up his mouth and he spoke to Moses at the burning bush. He opened up his mouth and he spoke to Jeremiah at the fig tree. He opened up his mouth and he spoke to Elijah at Mount Horeb. You know, there were times that he would literally open his mouth and begin to speak to people. Other ways that he spoke by visions. He spoke by his great power. You know, how many times in the Old Testament did the people rebel against the Lord and go following after other gods? And God brought pestilence and God brought famine and all these kinds of things. He spoke by his power. And then God's most widely way used he spoke in the Old Testament was through the prophets. That God's favorite way of speaking was to always use an intermediator. That God's favorite way of speaking was not to really speak himself, but to inspire someone's heart to speak on his behalf. That's how he spoke in the Old Testament. But now let's move on to phase two, which tells us that God is not done speaking yet. Look with me at verse 2. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So in these last days, in these New Testament days, God speaks to his people through his Son. And one of the strong points the writer is making is this. If in the Old Testament, God was very eager and willing to speak to his people, how much more is he willing and eager to speak to his people now that he's speaking through his Son? Beloved, we don't have to guess whether God really wants to speak to us or not. There are so many things on the heart of God that he wants to talk to us about, that he wants to speak to us about now that he's speaking to us through his Son. God is so eager and willing to talk to us. Understand what the writer wants us to realize is that phase two is so much greater than phase one. He wants us to realize that phase two is much more superior than phase one. So we have to ask a question, why is phase two so much greater than phase one? And there's three reasons I want to look at here in the scriptures. First of all, God's Son is now God's word to his people, not the prophets. One more time, look with me at verse 1 and 2. It says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So what the writer is saying is this, God used to speak to us by prophets, but now he's speaking to us by his very own Son. What are prophets compared to God's very Son? He's saying, how much more superior is God's own Son over the prophets? Much, much more superior. That's the point that the writer is making. You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying, in this New Testament age, do you see what you have that Old Testament people didn't have? They had the prophets to speak to him, but you have the very Son of God speaking to you. Phase two is much superior over phase one. Now we're asking the question, why is phase two so much greater than phase one? Secondly, the Son who is speaking to us is appointed heir of all things. Look with me again at verse 2. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So verse 2 tells us that the one who is speaking to us is heir of all things. And we have to ask ourselves a question, you know, why did the writer think it was important to tell us that? I mean, he's telling us that in these last days, God is speaking to us by his Son, and suddenly he wants to tell us who is heir of all things. You know, he had a point in that. He's not a random writer with a random thought. There's a train of thought flowing here. So why would he find that crucial? Why is that important? Why is that important? Because if Jesus has come as God's decisive word to me and to you, then owning all things means he can make good on his word. If he owns all things, if he has dominion over all things, who can stop him from fulfilling his word to us? You know, if Jesus says, in all things you are more than conquerors, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall separate you from the love of God. How can I know he is able to fulfill that promise? I want to tell you something. There are some pretty incredible promises. There are some pretty huge promises. So how can I know Jesus is able to fulfill this word? Because if he is heir of all things, everything is under his control, everything is under his power, then nothing can stop him from fulfilling his word to us. That's why it's superior. And number three, why is phase two so much greater than phase one? Because the Son of God, who is the Word of God, won the final victory. Look with me at verse 2 again. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I really want to emphasize the word last days. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, we can talk about this in a few ways. We can go down a few different avenues, but here's just a thought that's on my heart. In any war, when do countries finally realize they are in the last days of a war? When the one battle that decides who's going to win the war has been fought and won. When Gettysburg won and fought and won the War of Gettysburg, everyone knew the North was going to win because the North had won the deciding battle. And when the Allies won the Battle of the Bulge, everyone knew the last days of the war had come, because the Allies had won the deciding battle. And this is why the Word and the Son is so much superior than the prophets, because Jesus won the battle on the cross, defeating sin, Satan, death, and the grave. Beloved, why is the New Testament age so much superior than the old? Because the one who is speaking to us has won every battle we will ever need won, and it's an eternal victory. Now, with all this in mind, understand, in the last days, God is clearly speaking to his people. He has much to say to his people. And if we truly want to hear God speak, then what is God's instructions to us? I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. So much we can talk about in Matthew chapter 17. I just want to stay right to the point. If I don't stay right to the point, it'll become very wordy. We don't want to become wordy. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spoke, talking about Peter, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. So the Lord is saying, I'm speaking to you in these last days through my Son. And my instructions to you are, hear him. He's the one to hear. Now, when the Lord says, hear him, God is saying two things. First, he's saying, in a world filled with many, many voices, keep your heart and ears in tune to only one, and that's my Son. In a world where so many voices are just trying to capture your ears and speak into your life, keep your heart and ears in tune to only one, and that is the voice of my Son. Hear him. Amen. You know, some time ago, I went to the movies. I'm a man who enjoys a clean movie. You know, when there's a clean movie playing at the theaters, I'm right there. I'm on the front seat. I got a big bag of buttery popcorn in one hand and a diet soda in the other. And I'm ready to go. And I was sitting at this clean movie, watching it, and suddenly, in this clean movie, somebody said in the movie something about God. And in my heart, I begin to think, you know, if I didn't know God, if I didn't know his heart, if I didn't know his ways, I can understand why lost people would think that was true. I can understand why they would believe that. A couple of days later, I was somewhere else, maybe a shopping mall or in Walmart, and I heard somebody else say something about God. And the same thought struck my mind. You know, if I didn't know God and if I didn't know his heart and his ways, I can understand why people would think that about God. With all the terrorism destruction in the land and all the natural calamities that are destroying so many things, if I was lost, I could understand why they would think that about God. And suddenly the Holy Spirit rose up in my heart and he said, Tim, do not let this world paint your views of who God is. Let my word paint your views of who God is. Don't let this world shape your ideas of who God is. Let my word shape your ideas of who God is. And the Holy Spirit began to minister to me and began to tell me that the hour we are living in, Satan is so desperately fighting to shape people's view of who God is. And he is using everything from media and entertainment to politics to religion to do it. And I believe with all my heart, never before should God's people be in his word, having a life in the word of God, allowing this word to teach us who God is and understand who God is. When God says, hear him, he's saying in a world filled with many voices, many philosophies, many viewpoints, keep your ears in tune to only one, that is the voice of my son. And secondly, when God says, hear him, God is saying in a world so marred by sin and deception, having a heart to hear him will shape and define everything in your life. This will define and shape your life. This will define and shape your marriage. This will define and shape your family. This will define and shape your ministry. This will define and shape your career. It will leave nothing untouched. The word of God will shape every aspect of your life. And I thank God for that. Thank God for the power of his word. Which brings me to my next point. In these last days, how does Jesus speak to us? I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're just going to read a few verses. Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 27. It says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look with me at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Go with me to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you, which I when I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Beloved, I really love this chapter in the book of Luke because it stresses over and over again the importance of Christ and the scriptures. And I really love that. You know, in the story, two men are walking the Emmaus Road and they're discouraged because Jesus didn't perform what they thought he would perform. They thought he would be a Messiah who would come and overthrow the Roman government and one more time elevate the nation of Israel as the superior nation in the earth. And when Jesus did not fulfill that and he went to the cross, at this point they were just in discouragement and in despair. But then the Bible says that Jesus came along out of nowhere and he began to show them out of the scriptures, this is why the Messiah came. And the Bible says that somewhere in this conversation, their hearts begin to burn within them. Beloved, what was that burning sensation in the heart? Let me tell you what it was. It was the anointing in the Word of God. That's what it was. Jesus was drawing such life out of the scriptures, and their hearts really began to stir in them as Jesus was drawing life from the scriptures. And then the Bible says that when they sat down to break bread, Jesus broke bread and then he suddenly vanished. And I want to tell you something. When Jesus vanished, he wasn't trying to pull a disappearing act. When Jesus vanished, he wasn't trying to be some kind of magician. You know, he wasn't trying to perform some kind of act. Every time he did something, he was saying something. And when Jesus vanished, this is what he's simply saying. He's saying, I'm not going to walk with you the way I used to walk. I'm not going to walk with you the way I used to walk with you when I was in this flesh. And I'm not going to talk with you the way I used to talk with you in this flesh. What he's saying is I'm going to ascend to heaven now, and I'm going to be with my Father. And now it is becoming a word walk for you. It is a word walk now. If you're going to continue to follow me, if you're going to continue to go in deeper places with me, if you are going to continue to follow after my will, I will meet you in the scriptures. That is the Holy Spirit ministry to breathe life into the book and bring you into a heart-to-heart encounter with God. Beloved, every time we choose to open this book, we are choosing to come heart-to-heart and face-to-face with God. And that's what he's saying now. He is saying, it is a word walk now. You will find me in the word. You will find me in the scriptures. Beloved, listen, Jesus designed the new covenant to be a word walk. Amen. Listen, this whole book is open to us. God can speak to us from every page of this book. Amen. Did you notice this morning when Pastor Carter was preaching? Somehow he went from Revelation and took us all the way back to Genesis. And then he took us from Genesis all the way back to Revelations. In a period of 4,000 years, it took men 4,000 years or more to write this book. In one sermon, he took us from Genesis to Revelation. You want to know why? Because the book is open to us. God can speak to us on every page. He can speak something very deep in our heart from every page. Amen. Understand, the secret to the transformed life is in the power of listening to his word. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by Lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. So in our story, Jesus is preaching in Peter's boat. And when he finishes, he tells Peter to launch out. He's saying, Peter, let's go fishing. And Peter says, we have toiled all night. And you can just hear the tiredness and the frustration and the defeat in Peter's voice because his whole livelihood depends on fishing. And in essence, when you look at this in a spiritual light, what Peter is saying is this. I tried my very best in my own strength to catch fish. In my own strength, I gave it my very best effort and I failed. But yet he arises and obeys the word of Christ and launches out into the deep and lets down his net. And to his absolute amazement, every fish in the lake tried to get in his net. And the Bible says that he was amazed by the power of Christ. And I think all of us has issues in our life where we have tried so hard to overcome in our own strength, only to fail over and over again. We tried to live in victory over these issues, but our own strength failed us over and over again. But then God's word came into these issues of the heart and began to work and did something in our life where our human strength was powerless. I know there's someone here today who can lift up their voice and proclaim, In my prison of selfishness, God came and gave me a heart that truly loves people and desires to serve people. I know there's someone here today who can lift their voice and proclaim. In my prison of ingratitude, God came and gave me a heart to lift up my voice and thank Him for His incredible goodness. In my prison of pain, God came and gave me a heart that no longer grieves over the past, but praises Him for the future. I know there's someone there here today who can lift up their voice and proclaim. In my prison of shame and guilt, God came and gave me a heart that no longer lives in the grave of remorse, but now lives in the freedom that I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I know there's someone here today who can even lift up their voice and say, I was all that. But thank God He gave me a loving, serving, thanking, praising, Christ-exalting, new creation heart, and I'm set free by the wonder-working, liberating, transforming power of His Word. Thank God I am changed. Amen. Now here's where I want to go with this. Just this little addition. I want to go here. In Luke chapter 5, we can look at powerless Peter sitting in the boat, tired, discouraged, and frustrated, powerless in his own strength to put fish in the net, and think this is the end of the story. We can say to ourselves, poor Peter, powerless to put fish in the net. Thank God Jesus came along. And we can really believe that this is the end of the story. But beloved, can I just tell you, this power and authority Jesus has in His word to fill the nets with fish, Peter came into that same power. This power and authority Jesus has to speak and fill the nets with fish, Peter came into that same power and authority. The story don't end in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 5. It actually ends in Luke and Acts chapter 2. If I can get it out. Acts chapter 2. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look with me at verse 32. This is Peter preaching. He says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being the right hand of God exalted and received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Beloved, here's the question I want to ask. This is the day of Pentecost, and you know what just happened? Luke chapter 5 just happened all over again, except it's Peter speaking now and putting fish in the net. What's happening here is that now it's Peter who's speaking, and there's a power and an anointing upon his words to put fish in the kingdom net. And I can't help but think when Peter stood up to preach on the day of Pentecost, Jesus was in heaven. He had a big grin on his face and he was looking at Peter and saying, Peter, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn, Peter. You open your mouth, you speak, you put fish in the net. Amen. The same power and authority that was upon Christ was upon Peter. And I have to say, this amazes me. Because I'm a preacher, and I preach. And thank God when I preach, people make my altar calls. Sometimes I don't know why, but they make my altar calls. And in my heart, I know the same power that was upon Jesus in the boat to put fish in his net, that power is now resting upon my life. Because now I'm putting fish in the kingdom net. It don't end in Luke 5. It ends in Acts chapter 2. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. I'm done. Beloved God, there is just such a anticipation in his heart to speak to his people. You know, the Lord wants to speak to us. And he speaks to us through his Son. And his Son speaks to us through his Word. And if we have ears to hear, if we have a life in our Bibles, we have a life in his Word, God is going to speak to us. And it's going to change and transform our lives. Hearing the Son's voice begins with having a life in our Bible. Begins with having a life in his Word. And when you have a heart to hear, it will change your life. Amen. Change your life. When you have a heart to hear and submit and walk under the authority of his Word, it will change your life. And to be honest with you, I don't have an altar call, but I do have a prayer that I would just like to pray over us. And could y'all do me a favor? It may sound a little elementary, but if you have your Bible, can you hold your Bible up? I know a lot of us, we have our Bible on our phones. Can you just pick your phone up? You know, I was in a staff meeting the other day, and we were asked to open our Bibles, and everybody started whipping out cell phones. And I'm thinking, maybe they misunderstood. And then I found out you can actually put your phone on the your Bible on the phone, but I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I got to know a lot of technology just to do that. So I'm just going to stick with the leather and the paper. Is that all right? But whether it's leather or paper, whether it's in the phone, it's God's Word. It's his Word. It's the Scriptures. It's the living Scripture. So I'm just going to ask you, could you take your Bible and put it close to your heart? You know, God said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have God's Word. This is God's heart. And I just want to pray for us. Just a very simple prayer, but a prayer that just lives in my heart. And it's simply this. Lord, I pray for us tonight. God, I pray that you would teach us how to seek you in your Word. I pray that you would teach us how to open our Bibles and find you. God, I pray that when we go into the secret place or when we sit here in the sanctuary and we're, God, have our Bibles open and we're reading our Bibles, God, would you teach us how to hear your voice speak to us, God? God, the beginning of hearing your voice and understanding your voice begins with having a life in our Bible, begins with having a life in your Word. And God, I think about David. David said, Lord, I love your law. I love your Word more than gold and silver. And I think he meant that literally. There wasn't anything in the world that was more precious, more priceless to him than the Word of God. All the kingdoms of the world could have put all their money and gold and materialism together and said, here, David, give me the law. Give me God's word to do with it as I want. And David would have rejected all the world's riches, all the world's materialism, because there was nothing more priceless to his heart than the word of God. Lord, help us to love our Bibles. Help us to love the scriptures. And God, let our hearts burn. God, open to us the understanding. From Genesis to Revelations, Holy Spirit, breathe life into the Word of God. Teach us the voice of the Son. Teach us the voice of Christ. And God, let us fall in love with that voice, Lord. Father, I thank you for the Bible. God, I love it. I've learned to love it with all my heart. And I thank you for it, God. Lord, the world just passes by the book, sitting on the bookshelf. God, Lord, it doesn't mean anything to them. But God, it means everything to us. God, it is your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God, your word is the very essence of your heart. And God, we treasure it, Lord. And again, I just want to pray a very simple prayer. God, as we read our Bibles, teach us how to seek you in your word. Teach us how to find you in your word. Teach us your voice as you speak to us through your word. God, there are so many things on your heart that you want to say to us, God. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.